Well, good morning, Encounter. Let's give the Heavenly Father another hand this morning. Let's give him a clap of praise. You are going to have to forgive me today. My sinuses hit me on Thursday, and then I went deep sea fishing with our church and a lot of men from our church, and I lost my voice at sea yesterday. So it is great to be with you, but I'm thankful to be with you today. And we are celebrating Father's Day, and to help us celebrate Father's Day, we found something that really got us pumped up and excited for Father's Day. This right here is called a man crate, all right? And inside this man crate are all kinds of spices. There's a smoke box. There's different kinds of sauces. There's five different types of meat thermometers in here for barbecuing, all right? I've even got fresh beef jerky on the top, and we have a crowbar here for whoever wins this prize today, all right? It takes a crowbar to open this thing, and inside of here is a brass knuckle meat tenderizer, okay? It doesn't get any better than that, all right? So what we're going to do here is one of the fathers in the room today is going to win this prize, is going to win this man crate. And so I'm going to ask all the dads in the room, all the spiritual dads, to stand right now. Go ahead, stand where you are. That means if you're a grandpa or a tio or an uncle, adoptive dads and foster dads. Yeah, let's give them one more hand. Come on, give them a loud hand here. Pretty cool. All right. So this is going to be a process of elimination. By the way, dads out there, one of you is going to win this prize. It's going to be cool, okay? So we're going to do two levels of elimination. We're going to end up with one winner here today. The first is I want you to remain standing, and I'm going to pick the number of days during the week, but we're going to find out who in the room makes dinner the most times in a given week, all right? Some of them are sitting down already. They're dropping like flies, all right? Just to clarify, if you do TV dinners, all right, breakfast dinners, you know, mac and cheese, it all qualifies, all right? Anything qualifies, barbecue, you name it. All right, so if you possibly cook dinner more than two nights a week, remain standing. Ooh, okay. Oh, well, okay, we got a good amount out there. All right, more than three nights a week, let's see. Oh, we didn't lose any of that. A couple of them went out there. All right, half the week. So we got a good amount on that. Four times a week. Let's see it. Oh, we lost a couple more there. All right, five times a week. Oh, we lost a few more. Now we're going to switch here. Now we're going to do a little process of elimination here because we got a good group out here. Now what we're going to do, in fact, I'm going to need a judge because I want to make sure I get this right here. Someone to tell me who's going to win this part. So I actually need an assistant up here. Anybody want to help me be assistant today? Ooh, I got a good one right near the front. My son Josh is sitting right here. Come on up here. Nothing like being able to be on stage with your son. So, by the way, this is my son Josh, if you haven't met him before. Stay standing, dads. You look like you come from good stock. Who's your dad? All right, just checking. All right. Okay, so I'm going to let you hold this. This is our man crate right here. And now, Josh, what I need your help with is I'm going to have you guys raise your hand if you know the punchline to the dad joke that I say. All right? So it's going to go like this. This is an example. If I were to say, what do you call a fake noodle? And you know the answer, you would raise your hand and you'd say, an impasta. All right? You got it? Okay. Or, you know, like, you know, or I could say, you know, anybody here want a pizza? And I'd say, no way, that's too cheesy, all right? So you're going to raise your hand. You're going to give me the punchline, all right? Here we go. You raise your hand if you know the punchline to this dad joke. Josh, you tell me who raises their hand first. How does Darth Vader like his steak? Anybody? Anybody? Oh, come on. On the dark side, all right? Okay, all right. Why did the man name his dogs Rolex and Timex? Come on. Right here. Huh? Time's out. No, that's not it. Someone else? I see someone else. Right in the back there. Yeah! Give that man a hand. Go give him the prize over there. Because they're watchdogs, by the way, if you didn't catch that. By the way, when does a joke become a dad joke? When it becomes apparent. I know, sorry. Honestly, I'm just having too much fun as a pastor and as a dad in this season of life. I praise God for that. You know, I read recently, by the way, can we give a hand to my assistant back there? So, if you want to know what I looked like when I was a little lighter and 17 years old and had hair, right there, that's what I looked like, okay? So I recently read that in light of any major emergency, the Department of Homeland Security recommends that you have an emergency kit on hand. And the reason you should have an emergency kit, like if there's a natural disaster or if there's a battle of some kind, you want to have at least 3 days of emergency supplies. And in that supply kit, you're supposed to have a certain amount of things. You're supposed to have enough water, all right, bottled water. You got to have canned goods. You also have to have, you know, your toiletries, any medicine and first aid that you need. You also need to have a flashlight, all right, and some extra batteries and some sort of radio that will work that doesn't need, you know, electricity. But last but not least, on the Department of Homeland Security's list for any good emergency kit is duct tape. Duct tape. And I don't know about you, but I've always thought as duct tape as man and woman's best friend. Because no matter who you are, even if you're not mechanical, if you have duct tape, you feel useful, right? Because it has all kinds of uses. And I personally, who doesn't love the sound and the feel of ripping off some tape from a roll of duct tape? And I've used duct tape for all kinds of things. When I go backpacking, duct tape is used to fix your gear. If you run out of moleskin, you can actually use duct tape as moleskin if you get a blister. And I've done that many, many times. If you ever cut yourself while you're out in the wilderness and you don't have anybody to stitch you up, duct tape will work every time. It's been done multiple times in wilderness experiences. When my son Josh was just up here, when he was little, if I ever had a full roll of duct tape, you know, the big rolls, I'd go looking for it and it'd be gone. I'd be like, how did we use that so quickly? And usually he would walk out of his room and he would have duct tape all over his body and he'd have all of his Nerf weapons, you know, duct tape to his body and swords, and he'd make forts out of cardboard and duct tape. Duct tape has so many different uses. They're endless. But duct tape has some specific dynamics that make it useful. And they actually work in harmony together. And these are the dynamics: that it's sticky, it's got durability, and it's flexible. It's sticky, it's got durability, and it's flexible. And I want to share one of the greatest gifts that any dad can give to their child today. In fact, what we're going to talk about today is a gift that all of us can give to one another. And it's a gift that's like duct tape. It has stickiness to the heart. There's a timelessness to this gift. And there's a durability to the soul that this gift gives into a person's life. And part of the beauty of this gift is there's flexibility in how God pours it into each of our lives. And it's not a physical gift. It's actually a message. It's not actually just one message. It's three messages. Three messages that every child needs to hear. Three messages that every one of us in the room needs to hear God speaking over our lives as his children today. And they're messages that God wants to speak over us. And it's a message a very special father gave to his 30-year-old adult son. And take note of that, by the way. These messages aren't just for young children. They're for children of all ages. And it wasn't just any father and son. This is the message that God the Father spoke into his son, Jesus, near the beginning of his earthly ministry. And it was a message from the heavens, almost like the Heavenly Father wanted all of creation to hear this message. And this is how it came about. God had spoken often through the prophets and angels and God-ordained messengers, men and women of God over the centuries throughout the Old Testament. And for centuries, God had been speaking through people this way. But then there was this period of silence where God didn't speak, or at least if he did speak, it's not recorded in the scriptures. And he didn't speak until the announcement of the coming of his son. And I want you to think for a moment of some of the God-spoken messages prior to the coming of Christ and the announcement of the birth of Christ, because Zephaniah, a prophet, spoke on God's behalf some 600 years before Jesus was born. And Zechariah, another prophet, spoke some 500 years before the coming of Christ. Malachi, who we mentioned last Sunday, spoke some 400 to 450 years before the announcement of the birth of Christ. And then there was this long, long silence. And that silence was broken when God spoke. And God began to speak again through his prophets and through his angels, announcing the birth of his son, the Messiah. And the angels spoke to Mary and to Joseph and to the shepherds and others when Jesus was born. But there was a certain message that God the Father knew that only he could speak over his son. And so God spoke. God the Father spoke over his son, Jesus. Not through a messenger, not through a prophet, not through an angel. And when God speaks and he doesn't choose to speak through one of his messengers, I tend to pause and think it's significant. And that there's something significant that God wants us to hear. And this is what God said in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, over his son Jesus at the beginning of his adult ministry. We're in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of God's word this morning. By the way, can we just give a clap of thanks for Jacob Wood, our guest worship leader today? We also have his fiance, Sierra, who's sitting over here near the front. We're thankful for giving her a hand as well. They are getting married in September. Pretty exciting. So this is Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." I'll read it again. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Would you pray with me? Father God, we come to you today as your church and we're hungry for you. Father, we are hungry to hear your voice over each of our lives. We just confess to you that we need it. We need to hear your voice. And we ask you to speak through your living word right now. Lord, I ask you to be a whole lot louder than my voice today, just by your spirit. Father, we also ask that you would speak into the hearts of children this coming week for Vacation Bible School as some 280 children come on this campus with over 100 volunteers. Oh, Father, would your great message of salvation and hope be spoken into the lives of kids across this campus? We pray for a powerful work in the lives of children and in our life as a church and in our community through what you want to do. And Lord, we ask you to work your wonder right now in us. And all God's people said, amen. Please be seated. I got to tell you, I was having fun out there on the ocean yesterday with the men. And the engine was really loud. And about halfway through the day, I was like, "Ooh, I'm losing my voice. This isn't good." And like, I just stopped talking the rest of the day. I think they're all like, "Why isn't the pastor talking anymore?" So I kind of went silent. But the Gospel of Matthew tells us that God spoke this message at the Jordan River, at the baptism of Jesus. And we're told that Jesus saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. It was the inauguration of his public ministry. He was about 30 years old. And the Bible actually tells us more about this message. It's at a different place in the Bible. It's a different event, but the same message from the Father in Mark chapter 9, verse 7. "Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, 'This is my son whom I love. Listen to him.'" And it was another significant moment in the life of Jesus. We call it the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus takes Peter and James and John up on a mountaintop, and God basically reveals the full glory of the Son to these three disciples. And as Jesus is up there with these three disciples, all of a sudden Elijah and Moses appear and God speaks. And it's almost as if for a moment that the line between heaven and earth blur for a moment. And everything is popping and sizzling as God gives a glimpse of the full glory of his Son for a brief moment on earth during his earthly ministry. I want to read it to you. These are the verses leading up to it in the book of Mark. Mark chapter 9, verse 2. And after 6 days, Jesus took Peter and James and John with him and led them up high on a mountain where they were all alone. There he was, transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Peter and James and John are so thrown by the full glory of who Jesus Christ is, they actually ask, "Are we supposed to be here?" And yet God the Father obviously wanted them there, if only to witness what was happening for it to be recorded in the scriptures later. And when Luke, good old Dr. Luke in the Gospel of Luke, records his gospel and story of Jesus, he records this same event, this same mountaintop moment where the heavens were opened in Luke chapter 9, verse 35. And a voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." So catch this. This message from God is so important that three Gospels mention it: Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The gospel writers, led by the Spirit of God, knew that these messages were so important for us to know, but it was important for another reason as well. Even Jesus needed to hear it. Let that sink in a moment. Even Jesus needed to hear it. This message is so important that God the Father wants us to hear it, and he speaks it over his Son, which I just think is really cool when you think about how that was all going down. And you might say, "Well, Pastor John, wasn't that message given so that we would know who Christ was and know more about Christ?" And I say, "Well, yeah, obviously, yes." But I also think it was spoken in that moment for Jesus' benefit as well. Because Jesus knew this perfectly already, but there is power in words of blessing being spoken over us, even when we already know them to be true. There is power when we say something encouraging to someone, but there's even more power when we bless someone by saying something encouraging to them and having others be the witness of it. And think about this as well. We often talk about how Jesus was the God-man. 100% God, 100% man, God in a bod. Perfect humanity, perfect deity, all wrapped up in one. But Jesus, while on this earth, set aside the use of his divine attributes while on this earth. In the official theological statement goes like this: the Logos, the Word, Christ, the second person of the Trinity, who is fully equal with God in every way, emptied himself of the independent use of his divine attributes and took a fully human nature, submitting himself to the will of the Father and the leading of the Holy Spirit in order to reveal the Father, redeem the world, and become the Messianic King. That's by Wayne Grudem, one of the best systematic theologies out there, in my opinion. And what does all that mean? Well, it means this: that while Christ was on this earth, he lived as an ordinary, Spirit-led human being most of his time while he was on this earth. He was still 100% God, but he set aside the use of those divine attributes. And so he went through this life just like us, yet without sin. So that means he got tired, and he sweat, and he smelled just like us. You should have seen this boat yesterday with 35 men out at sea for 12 hours. All kinds of great aromas out there, even with the wind. But Jesus even needed vitamin D from the sun like all of us do this time of year in Ventura and Oxnard area. And he had normal human emotions. Normal human emotions. He needed to hear the voice of his Father. And when he healed by faith, by the power of the Holy Spirit, because he had set aside his divine attributes. And so when the scripture says that Jesus asked the question, he really wanted to know the answer because he wasn't exercising that part of his deity. And it gets pretty wild when you think about what this all means theologically. The book of Philippians puts it this way in chapter 2, verse 6, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. See, this makes Jesus the ultimate example of the Spirit-led life. Jesus lived a normal human life submitted to the will of the Father. He listened to the words and the heart of the Father. And so the relationship between God and the Father and Christ is this great example for us. And over in the Bible, we are told to display the character of God, the image of God, to have the heart of God for people around us, especially our children or any children that God brings into our life to influence as parents and grandparents and tios and tias, that's aunts and uncles for the uninitiated out there, as coaches and teachers and friends of the family, to be voices of the Father to the children that God's placed in our life, to speak his truth into their lives. So God spoke. Three gospels mention it. Even Jesus needed to hear it. And so what are these three messages of God that he spoke to the world about his son? And they're simple, really. Simply profound. And they're life-giving. Like duct tape, I am convinced they have a stickiness to the heart. They're timeless. And I'm convinced that there's durability, that when those words are spoken over us, that just adds durability to our souls and our characters. And there's this flexibility in how God chooses to get his voice into each of our lives, because all of us have a different path. Three messages every child needs to hear. And the first message, the Father speaks over his son. It's found in Mark chapter 9, verse 7 again. This is my son whom I love. The first message from the Father is, I love you. God lets the world know that he is Jesus's Father and he loves him. Those words, I am your Father and I love you, that is a powerful combination of words to hear in this world. And every child desires to hear them. It's like a 1-2 punch. It's a whammy we all desire to hear. And unfortunately, as many of us know all too well, fewer and fewer people have a father figure of any kind in their life to speak those words over them on behalf of the Father. Those words are a great gift from a father to a child, but I would tell you today that God can use so many people in our circle of relationships to speak those words into our life in many different capacities. And I know today's Father's Day and we talk about giving gifts to dads, but I was thinking about the best gifts my dad gave me as a child. My dad used to have to travel internationally, and whenever he would travel internationally, he'd bring back gifts for us kids. There's three children in my family. And I remember as a young child, one of my favorite gifts my dad gave me was this St. Bernard stuffed animal. It had this big barrel on its collar, and I think he had gone to like Iceland or Finland or something. I don't know where he went, but he gave me this big St. Bernard stuffed animal, and I loved that stuffed animal. But he would always bring these gifts when he would travel to foreign countries, and he would also bring back the spare change of the currency of that country, and he would give us the coins of the currency of the countries he traveled to. Now that I look back, I realize he probably forgot to get us a gift and just gave us the spare change in his pockets. But we thought it was the coolest thing in the world. My dad went home to be with the Lord some 17 years ago, but as I think about his life, the greatest gift that my dad gave me, hands down, was with 100% certainty. I knew that he loved me. And I would tell you, for all the dads in the room, all the men in the room who are father figures, my dad got better with age at saying those words over his kids. Another part of my dad's story is he was severely disabled. He had a number of strokes. So near the end of his life, he could only speak in phrases. So get this, he spoke less, but he said, "I love you" more into the lives of his children. And dads, your children are never too old to hear that you love them, whether they are 3 or 23 or 53. And just a little side note for all the children in the room, that's all of you, by the way. Your parents need to hear those magical words as well. I love you. You know, my son, Josh, gave me probably one of the greatest Father's Day gifts a dad could get a couple years ago. He's 17 now. He was 15 at the time. And we had come to him to talk to him about a possible shift that God might be doing in our family's life. And it was going to be a big shift for him being in high school. And it really, you know, he kind of had to wrap his brain around it. He was really wrestling with it. We gave him some time, and I came back a few hours later, and I was just talking to him in his bedroom, and I will never forget what he told me. I could tell there was a shift in his heart as we had had this conversation earlier, and this is what my son said to me at 15 years of age, talking about this shift. "Dad, it's okay, because when you love someone, you're willing to sacrifice for them." Talk about a son speaking into the heart of his father. And that shift, by the way, was we were talking about as a family the possibility of God leading us from Northern California to Southern California to be a pastor, for me to be a pastor at a church called Encounter. Three messages every child needs to hear. The first message to give is, "I love you." Another message that God the Father speaks is, "Listen to him." The second message to give is, "I believe in you." And it's a message we can speak over any child that God puts in our path. And it happens when you tell them they're good at something. Or you believe they could be good at something they're not doing yet. You believe in them. You have faith in what God can do in them. Ephesians 2:10 says this, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things he planned for us long ago." This is where you believe in who God is making your children, who God has created them to be, and you take time to let them know you believe in them in a way that it sticks. And when they know you believe in them, there's a durability that just gets ingrained in the character of their soul. And there's so much flexibility in how we can speak these type of messages over our children or the children that God's placed in our life. I remember as a young adult, I was going to be moving from Northern California to Hawaii to be a part of a church plant. Someone had to be a youth pastor in Hawaii. God called me, so I got to go. But I remember talking to my parents about it. My dad was severely disabled at the time, and we all knew that he wouldn't be able to travel to Hawaii very often. Just wasn't in the cards for him. And it's not like you go back and forth between Hawaii and the mainland all the time. But I never will forget how even though it was a difficult thing for my parents, I knew without a doubt that they believed in me and where God was leading me as I was following him to the best of my ability at the time. And our children need to know we believe in them. And sometimes, as parents, it actually requires that we take the big picture view of our children, especially when they're in challenging seasons, and just let them know that we believe in them, especially when sometimes our children are making choices that maybe wouldn't be our choices. But you take a big picture view. Philippians 1:6 says this, "I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus." God has placed each and every one of you in this room in the lives of people to speak his heart over them, to let them know that they're his masterpiece, that they've been created with purpose, that God has designed them. And finally, when God spoke from the heavens about his son, he said, with him, speaking of Jesus, I am well pleased. And the third message to give is, I am proud of you. And you speak it to your kids and you show it to them and you let them know that you're proud of them in the little things and in the big things. And if they stumble in some areas, then you find other areas to communicate. Always finding something that you are proud of. And no matter how difficult things are in any season of life, there's always something you can be proud of. And remember, like duct tape that sticks, it's durable. And there's flexibility in how we speak and show these messages into lives around us and see how people light up and shine. See how it reveals the heart of the Father through you for them. God spoke. Three Gospels mention it. Even Jesus needed to hear it. Three messages that every child needs to hear, no matter how old they are. I love you, I believe in you, and I'm proud of you. And it's a message that God is speaking over everyone in this room today. And I know, especially when we find ourselves in challenging seasons, whether it's with our children or in life, sometimes we just have to be reminded of why God sent his son for us in the first place. So God loved us so much that he sent his son into our brokenness to die on that cross, so that through faith and repentance, we can come into a living relationship with Christ, where Christ actually walks with us. It's a relationship of grace. So even though we're broken and sinful, he never leaves us again. And he says that we will deal with the broken things together as we walk in relationship with one another. And the best way to have the heart of a God the Father towards our kids is to understand the heart of God the Father towards us. And there's no shortcut to experiencing that. And I want to speak directly to the dads for a moment, really all parents, because I know if you're anything like me, when it comes to the words you speak over your kids, you feel like you blow it all the time, don't you? I don't know about you, but I feel like my words so often are so far from the heart of God the Father. More of my words reflect my stress or my own brokenness, my struggles, my insecurities, my tiredness, my flesh. Now, I was thinking about my life in this season, and I really do feel like I'm living my best life as a dad and as a pastor. I feel so blessed. I do. At the same time, I feel so busy. And this isn't like a new problem for me. It's an old problem, but it surfaces the busier I am and the more distracted I am, how I can be with my children and they're right in front of my face speaking to me and my mind is somewhere way out there and I miss the moment that's right in front of me, and it constantly reminds me how badly I need God's grace and truth. Constantly reminds me why I need godly men in my life so that I can be the godly man that God's called me to be. Constantly reminds me why I need the Word pouring into my own life so I'm experiencing the heart of the Father to be able to share the heart of the Father. Some of you were at the men's conference a while back, and Pastor Miguel, our guest speaker, he said, man, if you want to be charged in Jesus Christ, there are three things you always got to have. So the first one is you got to have the Word. You got to be in the Word at least 4 days a week, that's what he said. You also got to be a man who's in community with other godly men, where you're growing. He said, lastly, you need to be serving as a part of the body of Christ and using who God's made you in relationship with other men as a part of this greater work of what God is doing. It's a pretty simple equation, really, but rather life-changing. And we constantly need the life of Christ being poured into our souls to be people who are speaking the heart of the Father into lives of others around us. And you may have some children in your life right now, whether they are 50 years old or 15 years old, that you're finding it hard to speak the right voice into their life. And I just encourage you today to breathe a prayer to the Lord and say, God, give me the right moments to see how I can speak your voice into my child's life or into this child's life that you've brought into my circle. And God will guide you. He will give you the words. He just asks you to come to him and be dependent on him. And think about how patient God is with us as our Father, how full of grace he is for us every day. And finally, I know there are probably some in the room today on Father's Day, and you're a little discouraged. Because as you think about your life story, you've never had an earthly father who has really spoken those words into your life. And for whatever reason, your life story just has not had that path. And yet I want you to know today with full assurance that God the Father, Abba, the Bible calls him, Daddy, is speaking those words over you right now. Well, how do you know that, Pastor? Well, I know that because unlike earthly dads, our Heavenly Father created us and he designed us. And he so wanted us to hear his voice over our life that he sent his one son, Jesus, into this earth so that we could hear his voice clearly through his life today. And so God spoke. Three gospels mention it. Even Jesus needed to hear it. Three messages that every child needs to hear. Three messages that we all need to hear God the Father speaking over us today. I love you, I believe in you, and I'm proud of you. They're like duct tape. They stick to the heart. They're timeless. They add durability to our character. And there's flexibility in how God speaks them into each one of our lives. Would you pray with me? Father God, on this Father's Day, Lord, we just come to you and we just thank you for your love. Lord, we thank you for your love for your Son and your love for us. And I just pray you would speak loudly over your church today. And that today could just be a reminder, a beginning of a reminder of how much you love us. How proud you are of us and how you believe in each one here. And Lord, may we be just great image bearers of you for every child you bring into our life. Thank you, God. Amen. You know, there's something else that's happening this weekend that we just want to take some time to honor and to celebrate. And it's called Juneteenth. And if some of you are anything like me, I knew about Juneteenth for years, but didn't really understand what it was. I had a number of black friends who I knew they were doing Juneteenth celebrations, and I knew they celebrated Juneteenth, but I had absolutely no idea what it stood for them. Not until it became a federal holiday. And I began to ask some of my black friends what that day was all about for them. How when the Emancipation Proclamation was signed in 1863 and the Civil War was still going on, in fact, it would still go on for two more years, and communication was so slow back then that all enslaved people had been declared free, but it took another two full years for the war to be won and for the message to get out, including to places like the Confederate state that was the farthest to the west at the time, Texas. That on June 19th, 1865, now known as Juneteenth, General Granger from the Union Army arrived in Galveston, Texas, and informed them that the 250,000 people who were still enslaved were indeed free. And this moment is remembered and celebrated as the end of slavery as it would be known in the United States at the time. And although it is the newest federal holiday, it is also the longest running African American holiday. And what it stands for are some things we're all about as Christ followers, like honor and freedom and reconciliation, the need to continue to grow and understand in community. And while there is still so much more work to do on in reconciliation, celebrating this holiday is an important part of how we hold the space of the story and the people and the promise of freedom for everyone. I'm going to close with Romans 13:8. Then Jacob's going to lead us in a song. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. May God the Father's love be spoken over every one of us today.